Well, good morning. I love the Mission Center. And, you know, that reminds me, as I see what God's doing through that work, that it reminds me that we are on a mission right here. And it's one of the greatest things our church does. And I'm grateful that we get to be a part of meeting needs in our community. Now, if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6, and if you have turn your Bibles there, I do want to challenge you to memorize some scripture. And today, I'm going to test you a little bit. And I think you'll do fine. But you know, when I was in the ninth grade, I played basketball for Moore Central Mid-High. And that was a time in my life that I was really growing in my walk with the Lord. My brother was my youth minister, and he was challenging me, go be a witness at your school. And you know, I wanted to do that. And so I went to Coach Christian. Fred Christian was my basketball coach. And I said, hey, Coach, would you allow me to lead our team in prayer before the game? We didn't do that before a game. And so he goes, you bet, Chris, I'll let you do that. And so the next game, it was our second game. After the first game, I was like, I want to lead in prayer. I want to be a witness. And so we gather in the locker room, and he gives us the pregame basketball speech. And he goes, let's huddle up. Chris is going to lead us in the Lord's Prayer. And I go, you know, I had known the Lord's Prayer, but that wasn't my jam. You know, I didn't grow up in that formal setting where we would stand and quote the Lord's Prayer. And I stumbled, and I just stuttered, and I didn't know what to say. And one of my lost friends that was on the basketball team, we had this awkward moment in the huddle. And one of my lost friends standing next to me goes, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be. And then everybody just joined in. And then I followed. And I was like, I felt like such a knothead in that moment. And then we went out and lost the game royally. We only won one game that year, so we needed prayer. But you know, then after that game, I was like, Coach, I'm so sorry. I just kind of pray. I didn't do, he goes, all right, we'll let you just kind of pray. So I did that the rest of the season. But you know, when you think about the Lord's Prayer, it's a favorite. It's quoted by millions of people. You know it probably right now. You know, when you think about the Lord's Prayer, it's and prayer in general, it's interesting is Jesus gave us that prayer in Matthew 6, and it's famous. And even a lost world can quote it. My lost friend could quote it. In fact, let's try. I want you to stand right now. And let's quote it. But let's go formal today. Let's use trespasses. Are you ready? Here we go. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hey, they didn't even put the words on the screen. Good job. Have a seat. That's great. You know, when Jesus gave us this prayer, it's good to quote it. But can I just tell you, the reason he gave us this prayer is not just for us to quote it. And like we're challenging each other to memorize the Bible. I want to challenge you to memorize Matthew 6. There's 21 through 24, we want to challenge you to memorize the word. It's valuable to have God's word on your heart, because when God's word is on our heart, it helps us think right. It comes to our mind. God uses it as a tool as we walk with him. But the Lord's Prayer, it's meant for us to understand how to connect with God. That's what prayer is, right? Prayer is a way you communicate with God. And it involves you listening. It involves you talking. Prayer, what it does, it reminds us that we are in a two-way relationship with God. Prayer is this, it helps us recognize that we're in a partnership with the Lord, that God sustains us and that he restores us. This is what prayer does. And it's one of the disciplines that we as believers must come to understand. And this is why Jesus, in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, you've got to understand this is written to believers, to those who already know Christ. Now, if you're visiting today and you're coming in the middle of this incredible sermon, we've been studying the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever preached, Jesus, God in the flesh, and he's helping us understand how to pray. And when you pray, we pray not because God is somehow needy. God needs us to talk to him. No, we need to learn to communicate with God. And when we pray, do you know what happens? We learn to see the Lord's hand in a unique way. When we pray, we come to know the heart of God. When we pray, we discover the will of God. And then look at verse 5, and he gives us this clear instruction on how to pray. And when you pray, we read it, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Then he tells us, and when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And then he says, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, for the next 2 weeks, As we walk through this sermon, my prayer is that God teaches us to pray. It's so valuable for us to learn to pray. It's one of those interesting revelations in Scripture because, you know, John the Baptist, who was equated as the greatest man ever born of women by Jesus, how'd you like that little trophy in your heavenly rewards? The greatest man ever born of women. It was John the Baptist. He had a prayer life. It was unique. And it was Luke 11:1 that Jesus' disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. You know, what's interesting, I think this is something we neglect the most. And this is why it's important to understand Matthew 6. He's moving us to some key disciplines. The discipline of giving that we looked at a little bit last week. The next 2 weeks, the discipline of prayer, learning to pray to the Lord, learning to connect with God. Then we're going to look at the discipline of fasting, something we neglect often. We're going to look at how we serve the Lord. We're going to look at faith. This is chapter 6. And as you look at this the beginning of this prayer, our Father. Let's think about this. It's right for us to think of God as our Father. And this is a lesson that you see in chapter 6. It's really important for us to not do things before men. And this is what the Pharisees were doing. They would pray in public and go, look how spiritual I am. And they totally missed the fact that they are connecting with God. That's what prayer is. A moment for us to connect with God. And so we're learning this discipline. You see it all through chapter 6, and it's a lesson we'll see over and over again. And if you're taking notes, this is something we've got to get, that we must learn to practice the presence of God. And I want to challenge us, practice his presence. Thinking of God as a Father, you know, some of us struggle with that concept. Because when we hear God is our Father, the images of our earthly father come to mind. And for some, that was a father that came home drunk. For some, it was maybe a father that was never home when needed. For some, it was, oh, my father never cared about me. For some, you hear those words of, hey, just wait till your father gets home. from your mom. And you know, when I think about fathers, and I am a father, I have three kids, and you know, as a father, it's right for us to be pointers of God. Well, I want to be a pointer of God to my children and my grandchildren. I want to be a good father. But the truth is, I fall short in that. I cannot live up I am flawed, unlike my Heavenly Father. And every father in this room, though we must strive to be a good representation of God, we're flawed. God is not. And let's understand this concept of God as our Father. You realize that the Bible doesn't teach that God is everyone's Father. You know that, right? Just because you're human does not mean that God is your Father. In fact, the Bible teaches the opposite of that. John 8:44, you might write that down. It says, "You are of your father, the devil. You want to do the desires of your father," Jesus said. He encountered some Pharisees. You're of the father of the devil. So God's not that father. You know, just because a person is a member of the human race, God is our creator, but it takes more for God to be a father to you. The Bible's clear, John 1:12. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." And as we understand the Gospel of John, as God used John to write down this concept, this important truth, that you must be born again. That it comes, there comes a point that the only way you can legitimately call God your Father is that you've received him. You've been born again. You've come to repentance and forgiveness, and you've received the gift that's been given to you. And when we receive Christ as our Savior, God becomes our Father. And it makes a world of difference for us. It makes a world of difference for you. It makes an eternity of difference for you. This was Nicodemus. This was what the Pharisees needed to understand. And they needed to recognize that God, our Father, who's in heaven. And James 1:17, "Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." And let me tell you, God desires to be your Father. And this is why this salvation is extended. And that if you're here today, I believe God is calling you to be born again. And oh, I don't want you missing heaven. You know, there are so many in our lives that think they're going to heaven, but they haven't received Christ and been born again. He is our Father. Is he your Father? His name is our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. That word we've said, you just quoted that. But to think about what that means, God's name is hallowed. Hallowed means revered, set apart. God's name is uniquely holy. And holiness is a concept that we struggle to grasp because we've never seen holiness. One day we will. One day we will stand before the Lord and see holiness, and we'll be like Isaiah 6. Whoa. Whoa. And God is holy. You know, hallowed be his name. God's name means something significant. And we've learned this because when we name our kids, they are named significantly. Like in the podcast, Emily said to me, "Dad, you called Clara's name wrong." My granddaughter, I called her Clara Grace. Her name is Clara Jane. Let me fix the record today. Clara Jane. And that's important because, you know, that's the middle name of my mother. Come on, Wall. What am I thinking? And you know, that name means something. And see, God's name is revealed to the world. It's why the Old Testament, you'll see many names of God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Jehovah Rophe, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Shema, the Lord who is with me. And it goes on, the names of God. His name reflects his character. His name reflects his acts of love to us. With that in mind, we better understand the Psalms. And I hope you're in our Bible reading. We're reading through the Psalms right now. Join us in this. Psalm 9:10, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 20, verse 7, we read a few days ago. Some boast in chariots, some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. Hallowed be your name means, Lord, we respect you. Lord, we offer you the place you deserve. And you know what? That's a far cry from, I'm going to talk to the man upstairs. Sometimes Jesus is teaching us to pray for us to recognize who we are talking to. That we are talking to the master of the universe, the one who has the power of speaking and creation comes into being. And sometimes we are flippant when we come to the Lord. And you know what Jesus is teaching us through this incredible sermon? Don't be flippant when you talk to the Lord. Because sometimes words just come out of our mouth and we don't even think about them. And that's not what God calls us to. He calls us to this relationship that is real and personal. And when you praise the Lord, it should be verbal. We should express verbal praises to the Lord. But we got to not miss what Jesus is saying in the Sermon on the Mount, that God is looking at our hearts. He's paying attention to your heart. He's paying attention to what's on the inside. And that's a key lesson in this part of Scripture that we've got to not miss. Matthew 15:8, as Jesus encountered the Pharisees, he says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And this is why the Sermon on the Mount causes us to look inward and go, Lord, is my heart far from you? Sometimes when I've prayed, my heart has been far from the Lord. And God is rooting this out in me, going, let's not be far away. Lord, draw my heart to you. Now, this may seem like an odd point, but when you pray, use your manners when you talk to God. You ought to use your manners. Now, we get this. We get this in life, you know, like basic manners when I talk to my wife. I don't walk in the room and go, Robin, I want this, I want this, I want this. She'd look at me going, hello, good morning. How are you today, Chris? Don't walk in demanding, but, you know, use your manners. That's why it's, let's think about when we talk to God. You ought to start with a greeting. Good morning, Lord. Lord, when I talk to my wife, I make eye contact. You know, I don't just walk in the room and not look at her. No, yesterday morning, I just obnoxiously greeted her with a obnoxious kiss before she even brushed her teeth or I brushed mine, and it was awesome. I love being married. It's great. But you know what? When we pray, you know what Jesus is saying here? Pay attention. Be engaged. You know, I love what Amber does with our children as she teaches them to pray. She says, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Because you know what that does? It helps us focus. But the point is, you don't always have to close your eyes when you pray, but be attentive. Think about what you're saying. Like, it's hard to make eye contact with the Lord, but the concept is pay attention, be engaged, be honest, be clear. Be honest with the Lord. I'm thankful. We read Psalm 13not just a few days ago. We're about to read Psalm 77. Two of my favorite passages that help us understand that God wants us to be clear with him. God wants us to be honest with him. He's not afraid of your questions. Use good timing when you pray. Like when I want to talk to my wife, it's good to use good timing. Now you can go to the Lord anytime. But can I just challenge us? Let's plan some times to go meet with the Lord. It should be common for us to have a time where we go pray. I've been thinking about, I want to pray when I'm not tired. When I'm not distracted. I'm not hungry, but Lord, I want to plan some good conversation times with the Lord. You know, show appreciation when you pray. It's valuable for me as I think about my relationship with my wife. I want to show appreciation. What about with the Lord? Lord, I'm grateful. And so much of appreciation when we learn to pray. Ask questions when you pray. Lord, I don't know about this. This is the gift of his word, because God uses his word to help us think. And so God's not afraid of our questions. So when we pray, let's ask questions. Lord, help me with this. What about this? I don't understand this. And God wants us to be inquisitive. When you pray, be open to correction. I've learned this in marriage, the wisdom of that. In my relationship with my wife, when I pray, I don't just tell her my agenda, I'm listening to hers. The same is with the Lord. When I pray, be open to correction. Lord, how are you moving me? How are you correcting me? There's so much wisdom in turning our face to the Lord. And that's why verse 7, when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they're heard by their many words. Don't be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask them. God understands you. He relates to you. Pray then like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is why I want to encourage you with our prayer guide. Every Wednesday, we send a prayer guide out. And in that, there's just kind of a plan. And using the scriptures, we'll talk a little bit about that next week. But as we learn to pray, but in our prayer guide, it's listed. There's a plan to pray. And I want us to recognize this. Prayer is a physical response. It's a physical response. This is why my wife is teaching me something about candles. I don't know where she read this, but she found out that when you have a candle at a dinner table, that you linger longer at dinner. And you know, one of the things my wife has taught me is the value of lingering at the table. No TV on, that we're gonna linger. And she'll light a candle, and I'm like, okay, we're in here for the long haul tonight. And so, but you know what? I love that, because it's a physical response. And you know, there's value in physically responding to God. Now, granted, you might be going, well, Chris, wait a minute. I thought he said don't do it before people. Well, this doesn't mean, and he does say go in secret and private and learn to pray, just you and the Lord. But there are times we're going to gather together and pray. We're not sinning against God by doing this. It's like the understanding how to interpret the Bible. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. That never happens. Jesus is using an extreme example, going, make sure you're praying to God, not to other people. Pray to him. But it's good to have physical responses. This is why I light candles. I'm not lighting a firecracker today. Don't worry. I'm not. I don't want to get kicked out of the PHC. But in our prayer guide, you could add some candles to your prayer time. You know what that might make you do? Linger with the Lord. And in our prayer guide, you notice there's a time to praise. Lord, and I would challenge you, consider this process. Consider going home today or this week, going, okay, Lord, I'm going to come into a time of praise. You know, it's a physical response. Maybe you'll get on your knees. Maybe you can close your eyes. Maybe you can light a candle. Lord, I'm going to take a time. And what I love about, like, the candle idea, because it feels like it's an offering. It's a physical response to what I'm offering to God. It helps me visualize. Praise. Praising God for who he is, for what he's done. It may come out in a song for you. Maybe it's like this morning for me. I sat on our back porch and I watched the sun come up. And I just sat there quietly and listened. You know, but you know, times to praise the Lord. You know what that would do? It helps you recognize who you're talking to. You come to the Lord with respect, honor, praise. You're coming to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Like the Bible says, the one who is to come. Boy, I would encourage us, as we learn to pray, that's what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, I want you to learn to pray. And he starts out, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's this time of praise. We read Psalm 22, verse 3, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. A blue candle, for me, is a picture of praise. A red candle, you know, repentance. You know, to go through, meet with the Lord, and have a time of repentance. You know, as repentance, for me, it's getting specific about areas of my life that I've fallen short. And I find that the closer I get to the Lord, that the more I see who he is, the more I recognize the things that I need to change. The power of repentance, the power of 1 John 1:9, that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and he's just and he will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you know, we often overlook the gift of repentance. Because when I come to repent, I feel bad. I feel like, oh my goodness, I got to change this. We've got to recognize how valuable that is. How valuable it is to recognize your sin. How valuable it is that sin is exposed in our lives, in our hearts. And as Jesus is preaching this sermon, he is exposing the heart of sin. And it's confrontational. And see, we live in a world that doesn't want they don't want to feel a sense of responsibility and feeling bad. We just want to feel good. Let's just feel good. But it's valuable to embrace the conviction. It's kind of like when my knee was hurt, and it hurt. And you know, because it hurt, you know what it caused me to do? Deal with my knee. And see, the value of conviction, it moves us to get right with the Lord. And repentance is a consistent calling as a believer, to be right with the Lord, to confess our sins. You know, it's valuable. Get a red candle. Repent. Green. As I think about green, you know, when a green candle to me represents those things that I'm asking for. You know, when you pray, praise. Spend some time praising. Spend some time repenting. Then spend some time asking. It's kind of like as we It's those manners, those social skills. God, I want this. God, I want this. God, I want this. God knows your needs. But when you spend time praising the Lord, you get right with the Lord, and then you come with your requests. You think right. You're bringing the right request to the Lord. And God's not frustrated with your requests. Like, I think about the thing, there are things we need, and it's right to take those needs to the Lord. There are fears we have. It's right to take those fears to the Lord. You know, so much wisdom comes when we turn to the Lord. As we've been reading through the Old Testament, you see over and over again through the book of Judges, through Abraham and Lot, through all these narratives in the Old Testament, the wisdom of turning to the Lord and the futility and the foolishness of not consulting the Lord. So ask the Lord. Go to the Lord with requests, and He loves you. We're going to read, and we're going to study as we get into chapter 7, this incredible revelation. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. And the one who seeks finds. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Oh, don't you know that God is the right kind of Father? And we've got to, He's set apart. We've got to see this. Ask Him, a yellow candle. For me, I think about how much I grow in my faith as I ask the Lord for things. But then, yellow, yield. Yielding to the Lord. To yield means to submit to the Lord, to look for ways to submit to the Lord. And I was wrestling with this week through the value of submitting to the Lord's voice, submitting to His will. And James 4, 7 and 8, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. As we think about yielding to the Lord, obeying the Lord, and I don't want you to miss this, you realize that the greatest freedom known to man is when you submit to God's will. That's the greatest freedom that you'll ever know, is when you live in the will of God. And we get this. If you think about it, you understand this. Like, every one of us drove here today. And you know what? We drove here safely because we have a society that has structured the rules of the road. And they followed them. And you weren't hit head on because people stayed in the other side of the lane. Every one of us passed somebody on the way here, going the opposite direction. And you passed safely because people submitted to the rules of the road. And this is life. We understand this, that God loves you. And He calls us to submit to Him, to yield to Him, not because He wants you to just suffer and just be a slave to His will. No, He knows you. He knows us. He has a plan for you. And, you know, today, Brandon read it. Today in our church, we read Psalm 46, and I've just been struck by it. I was struck by it this morning that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. You know that God is ever-present. In my older New American Standard, which is my Quiet Time Bible, it said this, though we... Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should change. Lord, we will not fear, even though the earth changes. And though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Do you know that God is ever present with you? And this is why I pray for us as a church, that we learn to pray. As we were worshiping today, as Brandon was leading us and Josh was leading us today, I just kept saying, Lord, if I can learn to pray, oh, boy, what kind of pastor would I be? If we as a church prayed, learned to pray, learned to connect with God, oh, the kind of church we would be. You know, and I want to lean into this for a minute. Just because the Bible says, and we've said, and we know, and the world quotes, you can go anywhere in the world, and if you start saying, Our Father who art in heaven, masses will join in. But that doesn't mean he's your father. Oh, and I just got to say to you, is he your father? Can I just say to you, the Lord is drawing you with kindness, with forgiveness, with hope in this life and the life to come. And this is why I pray that you hear the Lord. You hear his voice. You yield to him. It's so wise to yield to the Lord. Would you bow your heads where you are? Josh and Brandon are going to sing this song, Abide. And many of you know the Lord. And it's time to really grow in our prayer life. And I challenge you, either buy some candles at your house and utilize this as you learn to pray, or use our prayer guide. You don't have to have a candle, but use our prayer guide to learn to pray. This week, learn to pray. Grow in your prayer life this week. Learn to abide with the Lord. We're going to sing that song, Abide. But let me just say to those here that don't know Christ as your Savior, that as I brought up the idea that you must be born again, maybe there's someone in the room that said, that's me. That's me. I've not been born again. Do you know what? That's the Lord speaking to you. That's the Lord drawing your heart. And oh, it's my prayer that today would be a day in your life that you yield to him. You turn to him. They're going to sing this song, and when you're ready, just stand and join them. Our staff's going to be down front. And maybe you need to come and talk to one of our staff members and say, you know what? In fact, I want our staff to come right now. And maybe you need to say, hey, talk to me about Christ. Would you come to Jesus today? Lord, I pray in this moment that your Holy Spirit draw us, that your Holy Spirit move us. Father, that this week would be a week that we learn to pray. Father, if there's anyone in this room that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that you'd give them the boldness to walk out and grab the hand of one of our staff members. Or before they leave, stop at our welcome center and talk to somebody. Do not leave this room before they yield to your voice. Father, teach us to pray. Thank you for your word, and we need you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.